Amen. Now let's quickly share a few things as we go this morning. The Lord laid on my heart to share something vital with us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, you know, there are many things in life that are expendables. If they are not there, doesn't really matter. Your life doesn't depend on it. If they are not there, you love it, some luxuries of life. If they are not there, you know, but there are certain things that are necessities that you must keep your eyes on all the time. All the time. All the time. It's like a football game. You cannot be looking at the fans. They're not as important. They're not as important. You know, there was something I noticed when I was young. I remember Ernest Okonkwo. He used to do a commentary on, who knows Ernest Okonkwo? You know, and he used to do commentaries on football. So, one day he said, that man was looking at his man and not at the ball. He did not keep his eyes on the ball. I said, that's true. When you're playing the football game, and you're looking at a man, and you're not looking at the ball. It is the ball that you should look at, because it is the ball that matters. If the ball goes into the net and you have your man, you have tried. So I said, it's true. Once you have his eyes on the ball. Hallelujah. So there are certain things you must keep your eyes on. Keep your eyes on. On your faith, for example. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, I have kept the faith. He didn't say I have kept the money. Thank God for great marriages, and we should have great marriages. But he didn't say I have kept my marriage. Thank God for great businesses that do well. I love to have great businesses that yield billions and billions. I don't know about you, but I think you also like the same thing too. Hallelujah. But you see, he didn't say I've kept my business. As important as his health was, even though he had challenges in moving from city to city, he didn't say I've kept my health. He didn't say that. He didn't even say I've kept my pride. No. He said I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. So as a believer, there are certain things you must keep. You must keep the faith. You must keep the faith. You must keep the doctrine of the word. You must keep the Christian life, the Christian character. You must keep it. You must keep it. It has to be kept. And glory to God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. You are not keeping it by your strength. You are not keeping it by your ability. In verse 14, he says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost that dwells in you. The Holy Ghost is in you to keep what was committed to you. Say by the Holy Ghost. Say by the Holy Ghost. I keep what was committed to me. So you have to keep it. And keeping the faith includes a fight. He said, I fought the good fight. So to keep the faith, it has a fight in it. There was a teaching I did for the cell leaders one time. And I told you there's war. You fight in ministry. Ministry is warfare. You fight. You fight. You don't stay there and say, I don't even know. You fight. Because it's a warfare. Satan is looking for what you are looking for. And Satan plays dirty. He's devious. He's deceitful. He's deceptive. He's looking for what you are looking for. He's looking for those you are looking for. So you have to learn to keep it. I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight. He told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. You learn to keep the faith. But one more thing I want to share with us this morning. You need to learn to keep your zeal. Your zeal is your asset. Your zeal is your asset. Learn to keep your passion. So in Romans 12 and verse 11, Paul says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You have to be fervent. You have to keep your fervency. You have to keep your passion. The word here, zeo in the Greek, has to do with boiling water. Many of us don't boil for long. We don't boil for long. After a while, we become lethargic. Sometimes even indifferent. Indifferent. You cannot afford to be lethargic. Because salvation brings you zeal. Titus 2:14 said he redeemed us from evil and evil works from this world, purified us to himself that we should be zealous for good works. Zealous. So one of the proofs of salvation is that you are zealous. Say, I'm zealous. Say, I'm zealous. Say it again, I'm zealous. So your zeal is your asset. A friend of mine wrote me a letter. 1993, I can't remember, I can't forget. November. He said, when a man loses his enthusiasm, he's just about to lose everything. Your zeal is your asset. Your zeal. Your zeal is your asset. The passion, that passion you have, many people have lost their passion. They've lost their passion. If you look down the years, a few years ago, when they come for a meeting like this, you see them in front. They will be in front. They will rush. They will rush out when hands have been laid. They will do things like that. They will pray. They will kneel down when they are worshiping God. They don't care who's looking at them. They're just all over about Jesus. In fact, you call them a fanatic. Because the Greek word is actually fanatic. Somebody that is a fanatic. But you see, now, they no longer kneel down to worship. They just put their hands in their pocket. Maybe they are now pastors. And then they are pastors, you know, and then the attitude has changed. I recall sometime, a while, I went for one of the conferences I go to, and I sat down in the congregation. I say this often. And some folks who knew me, who follow us, they said they were asking themselves, is that Pastor Chris? They said, ah, are you sure he's the one? Why? Because they found me sitting down, like everybody. You know, run around like everybody. You know, like I would have done 25 years ago. One thing I tell the Lord, Lord, the day I change from being innocent, that guy that is looking for you all the time, let me know. I will hear you. I don't want to pray like a man of God. I don't want to receive like a man of God. I want to receive like your child. So they said, who's that guy? Is he the one? So they came to me and said, you know, we're surprised. I said, and I answered them and said, am I the one you were looking at in the meeting? I said, well, sorry. So I just asked you, focus on the meeting. So you should never lose that asset. Your zeal is your asset. And your zeal is not for when you were young. No. No. Some say, well, we did all that back then, you know, when we were in the universities, when we were in the college. You know, that was then, but you know now, we now have pot belly. We are now rich. We are now exposed. What useless exposure do you have? When you were in school, when they say, glory to God, rejoice, you will jump up, you will run, you will fly. Now, you say, that was then. I no longer rejoice. I rejoice. I just rejoice. I pojoice. You know pojoice? You pojoice. Alright. Shandai. Jesus, the Ancient of Days, he lived for much joy. He ran! Hallelujah! You know, sit down. You know, Abraham Abraham was in his 80s when he rejoiced. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. If anything must go, not your passion, is like losing your life. So in salvation, we are born fanatics. See, I'm a fanatic. I'm a fanatic of prayer, a fanatic of good works, a fanatic of giving, a fanatic of honor, a fanatic of prayer, of evangelism, a fanatic of church. Hallelujah. When I was younger, before I got saved, I remember then, my parents, we used to attend a white garment church. We went to church 4 times a week. 4 times. I didn't even know. They said, oh yeah. And we wear the white garment. We'll go there. 6 o'clock. By 8:30, we're going home. Sometimes 5 days, and you know, they know how to do, revival. 14 days. They don't take a 3-day meeting. Sometimes 40 days. And we'll go. Like that. But you know, that's why I'm grateful for our parents, my own and many of you. You know, in spite of the fact that it looked like they were forcing us, something was working in you. It was working in you. It was working in you. That was why receiving salvation looked easy. In the little they knew it was important for a child to know God. Don't say, I don't want to force my children. Say, oh yeah, read your Bible. Hallelujah. If you trust God's word, one day they'll say, I love God's word. I love what God is saying here. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't lose your passion. You were born a zealot. You were born a fanatic. The fruit of being born again is to be a fanatic. You were born a fanatic. Your passion, after your life, your passion is everything. Say, my passion is everything. Your passion to pray. Your passion for the people of God. Your passion to walk in love. Your passion to be a good example to others. When it gets to a point you say, I really don't care. When you no longer care, you have lost everything. Your passion is everything. Paul says, be fervent in spirit. Be fervent in the spirit. Serving the Lord, zeo in the Greek, be fervent in the spirit. Boil. Boil. Hallelujah. So which means the attitude to serving God, listen to me, is a boiling attitude. Some people have lost their passion. They are still going for the prayer meeting, but they are just observing the motions so that they will mark their names and they came. They're just going, let's just go. They say evangelism, okay, let's just go. They will even win those who they just write names. Shegu Anoyinka is saved today. Is that now our pastor? Oh, sorry. You know, they've lost the passion. But as soon as the prayer meeting is over, they're happy. Let's just begin to lift our hands. That's when they're happy. And give God thanks for what they prayed for. You didn't pray? Hallelujah, amen. So you are passionate about going home, about watching a game, about seeing a friend, but the prayer was like you dragged throughout. Something is being lost. You must get your passion back. You must keep your passion. You must want to pray. If they say, we're adding 1 more hour, say, let's go. Because you have the passion to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So you don't leave this camp meeting to go and rest for the camp meeting. No! You keep the fire. I said 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 you keep the fire. You get home, you're in the bus, you're in the car, you're in the plane, you're praying in tongues, you're praying in tongues. Don't go and watch movie, don't go and watch movie, don't go and watch movie, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Keep your passion. Keep your passion. Begin to think about the next service. Oh, in the next service there's going to be a move of the Holy Ghost. Begin to fast about it. Never lose your passion. You have to keep it. You have to keep it. You cannot afford to be complacent. You cannot. Complacency is the work of the devil.
When a believer is complacent, it's a demonic activity. You begin to complain about services. You begin to complain about number of prayer meetings. It was never a problem for you.
No, it wasn't. You were there.
When we had three services, you wanted to be in all three services, we had to force you to attend one. Now you are saying, it's too long. It's too long. Camp meeting, 5 days. When can't we do this in 3 days?
You know what has happened? You are having the wrong conversations. It was a conversation that led to sin in Genesis 3. Satan brought a suggestion. Sit down, please. Eve answered.
Watch the conversations you have. Watch the conversations you have. Watch the people that hang around you. Anyone hanging around you. Such that you just begin to lose your passion. Satan is using that person. Even if the person is quoting Greek and Hebrew. Loss of passion cannot be spiritual growth. Loss of passion cannot be spiritual growth. Suddenly you stop giving. You stop praying. You stop seeing the local church as where you should be committed to. You stop seeing yourself as an example to all saints. You have heard the devil. You have listened to the enemy. Your passion is everything. Say, my passion is everything. I want to see the glory of God in the earth. My passion is everything. It's everything. It's everything. Remember, you know, one of the camp meetings, a doctor friend told me, we had this conversation, and he said, you have to be careful about how you fast. I said, well, when I have special meetings, I fast. I said, and during the camp meetings, I fast. I said, even sometimes, or most of the time, I take a long fast. That means I don't break in that day. I break the next day or even day after. I say, he said, be careful. I said, how? He said, you at your age. I said, well, I can be careful, but I cannot stop it. Hallelujah. I'll be careful, but I cannot stop it. Because you don't change what works. You don't change what works. You don't. You don't change it. You know what your passion has done to others. I pray for you who are leaders. May those who you have brought to Christ not bring judgment on you. You know, you can lead others to a church and they will discover what you have not discovered. May that never happen to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I know some people who have brought some people to a church. And the people have become pastors and leaders. And they are not doing anything in the body of Christ. May that never happen to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pursue money. Sit down, please. Pursue money. Make money. Right? Yeah, you should make money. You are in this world. Paul says, if you have every opportunity to get yourself out of financial lack, say, do it. But one key thing for you. Learn to have priorities. This one supersedes this one. This one, when you want to do something at all costs, there is a price to pay. You want to get married at all costs, there's a price to pay. You want to have money at all costs, there's a price to pay. You want to be popular at all costs as a preacher, there's a price to pay. You want to have sins at all costs, there's a price to pay. Anything you do at all costs, it will come with a cost. And that cost sometimes, when you pay it, you may never be able to compensate yourself again. Never lose your passion. Say, I keep my passion. I keep my zeal. I am a zealot. I am a fanatic. That's what you are. A zealot. A fanatic. You are a fanatic of Bible study. In your office, what is wrong with you? You're kind of playing the world. Can't you play something else? Say, no, I can't. Don't say, why in Nigeria? No, I want to say, I cannot. Hallelujah. I cannot. Glory to God. I'm not ashamed of my convictions. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. I'm not ashamed of my passion. I'm not ashamed of what I fight for. Fight for it. Keep your passion. Life's troubles will come. Let me tell you. Life has its own challenges. Everyone in this life has challenges. Believer, unbeliever. Everybody. But the shame sometimes is you now see people having the exact problem you have. The exact situation. yet nothing has changed. Yet they are abounding. Such men become judgments for you. So there is no excuse for losing your passion. I told someone, I said, the reason why you are talking like, should I tell you? She said, what? Because of the brother you want to marry. That brother is influencing. She said, no, sir. I said, no. That brother is influencing you. You've had conversations. There is no neutral conversation. It's either it takes you closer to God or takes you away. There is no neutral conversation. Watch the kind of conversations you get involved in. Hallelujah. It should be funny that the people that complain of your zeal later will tell you, when, not to you, when you now drop in your zeal, they say, ah, I remember those days, you used to be very passionate about prayer. What happened? They are the ones that talked you out of it though. This is your life. Keep your zeal. In John 2:17, they said, they remember the scripture about Jesus. The zeal of my house has consumed me. Zelo in the Greek. Jesus walked in zeal. He showed passion. Isaiah 9:7, it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You cannot be involved with the work of the ministry, with what God is doing in the earth, without a zealous attitude. One of the ways we know you are involved in what God is doing in the earth is the passion by which you carry it. So one thing you must keep. I'll close here. In this year, in the year to come, in the years to come, in decades to come, is your passion. Your passion. Your passion. We should be asking you now, how is your passion, brother? How is your zeal? How is it like? Stop asking believers, hey, how now? How, you know, ask them about their family. Yes, ask them about their job. It's good. You ask me about my business. How is it good? I'll tell you. But you know, the most important question I want to ask, you should ask them, how is that passion you had in the university days? How is that passion? That passion for prayer. Remember you leave campus sometimes for 3 days, you go and fast and pray. How is that passion where you are always praying all over campus? We knew you for praying in tongues all over the place. How is that passion? Say, I still got it. I just came back from 4 hours of taking a walk in tongues. Say, God bless you. How is that passion? You were always in the fellowship. You were always in the fellowship. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. How is that passion? Say, I attend 3 services every Sunday. I've kept it. Oh, now I'm 50 years old, I've kept it. Now I'm 60 years old, I've kept it. Now I'm 70, I've kept it. Now I'm 80, I've kept it. Now I'm 90, I've kept it. I've gotten married, I've had children, I've gone through the life's troubles, life's challenges, I've been through the hell and high waters, I've had challenges, I've fallen sick, I've gotten healed, I've lost money, I've made money, but I've kept my passion! I've had challenges, problems. Oh my God. Problems are trying to bring me down. Yes, I've had issues in family, issues in my health and my business. I've had problems here and there. I even traveled one time and I had problems here and there. But you know what? In and through it, I kept my passion. I kept my passion. Why do you think Paul, who was in chains, stood before the king and before the governor, and he kept his passion. Right there, he wasn't saying, I'm feeling bad. He said, no, I am a happy man. I'm a happy man. I'm a happy man. I tell you, this will be your testimony. 40, 50, 60 years. You have gotten married. You have had children. Oh, come on. You have raised families. You have had your problems. You have lost your job. You have gotten a new job. You have left your nation. You have come back. But you have kept your passion. You have kept your passion in America. You have kept your passion in UAE. In Kenya, you have kept your passion. Anywhere you go to, you are keeping your passion. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your passion. Meetings you used to treasure, don't stop treasuring them. Things you used to value, men you used to value, men you used to honor, men you used to regard highly. Don't ever lose that passion. Keep it. It's all you have. It's all you have. It's all you have. As we close camp meeting 2021, keep your passion. Keep your passion. Keep it. Keep it.
Keep your passion.
Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself.
Keep your passion. Problems are going to come. Unexpected challenges will come. Things you didn't think about will come. But keep your passion. Keep your passion. Keep your passion. Pray, 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 pray. Pastors, leaders, workers, keep your passion. Any friend that will take your passion will be exposed to you. Any colleague at work that will take your passion will be exposed to you. Any neighbor, family member, even a spouse, God forbid, that will take your passion to be exposed to you. Keep your passion through hell and high waters, through life difficulties, through challenges here and there. When things go right, when they go wrong, I keep my passion. I fall sick, I keep passion. I get healed, I keep my passion. Keep your passion. It's your treasure. It's all you have. It's more than money. It's more than fame. Keep your passion. Keep your passion. It is your treasure. It is your possession. It is your treasure. It is your possession. Bless and sing us that song. That song, I give you my heart. As we close camp meeting, I give you my heart. Pray. Pray. To keep your passion. Pray. To keep your passion. Pray. To keep your passion. Keep your passion. Pray. To keep your passion. To keep it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it to business. To a new job. A new location. Any church. Any minister. That will take your passion away. We forbid them. In the name of Jesus. Any association. Any influence. That will take the influence of the Spirit away. We forbid them. In the name of Jesus. We keep the passion. Sing the song, bless him.